The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also you.
Well, we're learning that. We're practicing. So I want to welcome you to Rockwood United Methodist Church this morning. Before we have our invocation, I do want to mention that across our annual conference today, we have churches that are finding out about whose pastor is moving, pastors that they're going to receive. And unless Christy, who is not here, walks forward and comes up here and tells us something's happening in our churches, you're not getting to have a pastoral move. You have to put up with me for another year. I hope that's good with y'all. But they're finding out today, and I will say to you, just from what I know from speaking to some of our district superintendents, it has not been an easy season of appointment making, especially since in some cases they didn't know who they were making appointments to or not to. So just be aware that this is going on through our churches, so pray for them as we come into this time of worship. All right, let us pray together. Praise you, O Lord, that you have called us to this place. We don't call you to be anywhere because you're everywhere all at the same time. You're omnipresent. You are part of the very fabric of our being. You walk with us and talk with us in each place, and without you, we would have no hope. So thank you for calling us to your worship this day. May we worship with you. May we be changed. May we find the glory of the Holy Spirit upon us, and may we know that you love us more than we can ever expect. Now give us your grace and your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. I can't even talk.
Every kindred, every tribe on this terrain.
feet.
As you remain standing, if you would turn to page 748 for the Psalter. This is Psalm 16, verse 5 through 11. You will know that we do have responses to sing, and we're going to practice the response first, and then we're going to sing the first response. Amen?
Amen.
It's all yours.
Preserve me, O God, for renew my chain.
The Lord is my chosen portion, in my cup you hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a glorious heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure.
For you do not give up to soul, or let your godly one see the pit.
You show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
Please be seated. I'd ask this morning that you would be in prayer with us together as a family of God. We do have one prayer request for Ben and Paige Yarby, right? I'll make sure I got it right. This is Keith's daughter and son-in-law. Daughter has a follow-up for a mammogram. There we go. See, I'm already in surgery. And Ben has had melanoma, and we ask that you be in prayer for him. Are there other prayer requests? Miss Wanda's not here this morning. On Tuesday when I was here, we promised each other that neither one of us would take another fall. And on Tuesday night, she fell. And so we need that you would ask that you would be in prayer for her as she heals and gets better and pray that we stow. Any other prayer requests this morning?
Kathy Cole is home.
Yeah, she was going home last when I tried to talk to her. She left, called me back. So Kathy Cole is home. Yes, ma'am.
I think we should pray for you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Pray for Mary Lynn.
I will.
Mary Lynn's going to be at home with me on medicine that we won't talk about, and Gracie in a cast. Mary Lynn needs our prayers way more than I do, but so be in prayer for her as she goes through this time together. Are there others? If not, I ask that you would join me in our time of silent prayer and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. We pray to you, O Lord, that you would allow us this day to take a moment to take a deep breath of the Holy Spirit that resides within us, to allow us to know that the Ruach, the breath of life, is upon us, and that that is given to us in a way that comforts us and gives us strength. That in that breath of life we have you and we have everlasting life, and in that breath we have come together in the image of God to worship you. But we do not come in a vacuum. We know this day, even as Marilyn and I rode from Pleasant Hill to here, we learned about someone else having a shooting in Kentucky and two more being killed. We heard about a shooting in Alabama where at least four have been killed. And we read and we hear about these things and we see them. And we know that as we struggle with life, we struggle in a way that knows that there is no peace on earth. But it's been offered. It is a gift to us to all receive and to take and enjoy. It is a gift that gives us hope and strength beyond anything we can possibly imagine. And yet we come this day seeing the actions of the people around us, and we pray for health and strength for families, and we pray for comfort to those who have struggled. We ask, Lord, that you be with the ones who have went home from hospitals, that you would bless them, and that you would keep them safe and let them heal. We pray for those who are at home in our healing, that that healing would be complete and that there would be a strength there that is unimaginable. And for those who wait for answers to test or seek further testing, we know that the great physician can lay hands on them and heal them even as we pray. And we know that your grace and your gift is beyond anything we can imagine, so we can see that. And we know, Lord, for babies that are unborn, that you will give them strength to be born in a strength beyond what the doctors or anyone else thinks they will be born. And that you will allow us, as the people of God, to pray for the countries around the world that are at war, and that you will give us a hope and a grace that is beyond anything we can even fathom. And for our United Methodist churches, that you would be with them as the new pastors are assigned and they prepare for that change, that you would bless them and encourage them and give them hope. And for our brothers and sisters who have chosen to not remain United Methodist, we pray, O Lord, that you would bless them, that you would love them, and let them know that no matter where we wander or where we go, that we are still one in Christ. For it is in Jesus that we find that oneness. So we pray for all the churches in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world that are proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let their worships be fulfilling. Let them find the presence of God and let them be changed. For indeed, we do not compete. We're like the ones that was healing that the apostles asked about. If they are for us, then we are with them because they cannot be against us. So let us be the family of God truly called together. And in all those things and all those places, let us this morning hear the words that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We would ask our ushers to come forth this time. you about the better I am. Let's pray together. The gift is great. It's the Son, your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us give to you the way he gave to us in our entire being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Ask you all to stand with us as we sing Stand Up for Jesus, page 514.
Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet.
Remain standing for the reading of God's holy word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19, let us hear this word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of his nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. She says it works. All right, friends, we have come to a place where we are 1 week ahead from what we see as Easter. The apostles at the beginning of this text are exactly on Easter Sunday. They have not moved from that day. They are in that place, and they are waiting in the upper room, and they are expecting to die. The expectation is they kill Jesus. What are they going to do? They're going to kill them. So they're locked away in the room. Now, Marilyn says this thing is working perfectly. Right, Marilyn? Then I'm going to let you work it. Because it never works for me. What am I doing wrong? It's like I'm not holding my mouth right or... Okay, well, y'all just follow me. Stay with me, it'll be good. Just let it set up there like it is, Keith. I'll surprise y'all. Now watch. Evening on the day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Okay, so they've locked the doors. They're in the upper room. They're there praying. They're huddled together in fear. It's kind of like, I lock all the doors here in the church on y'all. That'd be nice. Couldn't get out. Amen. And I've got you set here, and I lock the doors, and you're locked in. And here comes, standing in front of me, Jesus. How are y'all doing? Jesus is standing up front. He's looking at you. He's smiling at you. He's just been crucified. And he's there, and they are at a place where they don't understand. Remember, he didn't open the door. He didn't knock and say, "Can I come in?" He didn't go to the window and have somebody roll it up and he crawled in the window. What'd he do? He appeared. I like it. Don't y'all like it? Isn't that fun? Y'all like it, choir? Isn't that a great thing? He just appears. He just shows up. He appears to them. And the first words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." What happened to everyone that came, especially the shepherds who were come to the manger? First thing they heard from the angels was, "Do not be afraid. Peace be with you." Jesus attempts to give peace. How are we doing with that? Everybody good? Having a good time with the peace? Everybody's happy? Everything's calm? Y'all calm up there? Everybody's calm? No problems? And yet, what's the first thing we do? He appears to the disciples in it, and we watch this, and the first thing we see is murder and all the things going on in our world. We see all these things happening. And let me help you with why it happens. I just want y'all to understand this. Whether we want to admit to it or not, whether we want to talk about it or not, sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden, and sin causes the things that we deal with. It is about that we work with. And so you're working in a sinful place. Now, I know none of y'all are sinners. Y'all just perfect people. Amen? Well, that was an uneasy, huh? Y'all just, you aren't sure about that, are you? You are people who are created in the image of God, but have the stain of sin upon you. Now, y'all go work on that on your own time with that one, because that would take another 2 hours. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands. By the way, for those who want to be literalist in the crucifixion, hands for the Jews were here. Fits underneath the bone. Hand for the Jews extended down to this part of the wrist. They didn't know wrist the way we talk about it. This is hands, goes right here, and the bone then has the nail against it. So every time Jesus pulls up, he has nail on bone. Now, let's just be clear. Bone on bone is bad enough. Nail on bone is really different. Same thing in the feet. They put it in the bone at what we call the ankle. That way it doesn't tear down. Okay, so just hear that. He shows him this. I want you to think about it. What is your picture of a person after resurrection? What is your picture of a person in heaven? It says we'll be known as we are known here. But I was kind of hoping that I would go to heaven and kind of not have scars, not have all sickness, that when the dogwoods bloom, I could enjoy the dogwoods instead of sneezing. I mean, I was hoping for, it said it's going to be perfect with no tears. So we think about this as a place where the body is completely healed, that everything is cured, we're going to live forever. And yet when Jesus appears to them, he has scars in his hands, and they see the place in his side where the spear went. So think about it this way. We always talk about in our scripture that he is fully human and he's fully divine at birth, right? You right? Everybody good with that? I want you to think it the other way. Makes almost no difference, but it makes every difference. He's fully divine and fully human. Think about it the opposite way. The divinity, the sacredness, is what's seen first. The humanity is seen second. We see that at the garden when Mary is talking to the gardener and she says, "What have you done with my Lord?" And Jesus says to her, "Mary." At the point of recognition of who she is, what does she do? She recognizes him. Think of the processes of what's going on here. This is not just a simple little upper room story. There's a ton happening here. Showed him his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now, everybody's about to get on Thomas. Oh, doubting Thomas. He had to see Jesus before he believed. Well, I want you to think about this. The apostles, the 11 of them there, and some disciples more than likely, are up there in the upper room with Jesus. He comes in, comes through the wall, comes in without knocking on the door, not coming to the window. He appears out of nowhere, and he has to show them his hands and his side for they finally believe. I'm in an upper room, and Jesus comes in. I don't think I need any more. But maybe I'm worse than they are. Who knows? They have to see it before they believe it. So they rejoice when they know it's the Lord. Amen. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Now here's another part I want you to really spend time with. I'm hoping you go home and think about this. I know I'm asking a lot. Think. But I want you to work with me. When he said this, he breathed on them and said, well, it wouldn't be correct. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Let's don't skip that part. What was Jesus' role on earth? Any idea? Why'd he come? Come to the Jews first, then the Gentiles, sure enough. He was here to fulfill prophecy. Is that his reason to come? Well, he did that, right? But what was his real reason for coming? You have to be able to answer this in your own soul to get this. Why did Jesus come? He came so that he could bring the children of Israel back to God. He's on a mission trip to bring them back. Remember, I will be your God if you will be my people. He comes to bring them back. When they don't come back, he then extends his ministry to the Gentiles. Now notice, he extends it more than once. He does it in birth, where the Magi comes from the east, more like 2 years old when that happens. He extends it on the cross. He extends it to the soldier. He extends it to people who are not Jewish, but he's clear that that time hasn't come yet, but it comes in his life. So the mission of Jesus was to give God to the people. It has not changed. It was the mission when the ones were called to the promised land. It's been the mission of the nation of Israel to let people know about Jesus. They did about God. They failed at that. We had to move on. It's our mission to do the same thing. How are we doing? Notice what it said again. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. That does just apply to them. But this gets better. This gets better. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now we think the Holy Spirit comes on what day? We think it comes on Pentecost, right? For us, remember this, you're in that cycle. You spent 40 days of Lent preparing for the death of Christ and the resurrection. And now you spend 40 days in the Easter season preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You're in those two 40-day cycles that brings us death, resurrection, and Holy Spirit. Now, some of y'all will get your calendar out and say, "David, it's 46 days. It doesn't count Sundays. Because we are Easter people. What do? On Sundays, we celebrate the risen Christ. Okay, so watch it. This is who we are. And then he gives us this. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, your text may say other. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Do you have in your place in God, do you have the ability to forgive sins? Now, I didn't say forgive sins for their salvation. I said, do you have the ability to forgive sins? So how many of y'all, I'm not asking for a show of hands, unless you want to come to the altar and pray, we can do that. But how many of y'all are walking around mad at somebody? How many of y'all walking around angry at somebody? How many people do you have, put it a different way, how many people do you have that you would not invite to dinner today? Got a list? How many people do you don't want to ever see again? I want you to think through this. Here's what you're doing when you hold something against somebody. Now, let's be fair. They may be worthy of holding something against them. They may be difficult people. They may be bad people. They may be sinners beyond what we can ever imagine. We're not discussing whether they sinned or not. We're discussing what you're holding inside of yourself, because if you hold it in you, guess who it hurts? It doesn't hurt them. They don't care. They don't. You're hurting yourself. You're harming your very being by carrying this inside of you. You are working on yourself to not be able to be the person God wants you to be by carrying pain with you. See, and pain's easy to carry. Let's understand this. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. They're retained here. You can't let it go. I mean, none of us. You don't have anybody you'd rather not spend a day with, do you? Y'all? Yeah, me too. There's people that I struggle with. And yet, I'm hurting me. So you've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you who have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you truly believe you've accepted Christ, God gave you the Holy Spirit at the time of your salvation. Now, by our teaching, you had the Holy Spirit before that, with the Holy Spirit teaching you of your need to know God. But now you have the Holy Spirit fully in you by salvation. So stay with it a second. Now here's Thomas. We all love Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." It's gotta love it. This is one of the best places in the scriptures. It so tells us about us. Look at it. "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hands in his side, I will not believe." You know, I really don't care if there's 11 of you plus other people, disciples, telling me you saw God. What were you drinking? Obviously, you'd been in the communion wine too much. You've been in the wrong place. You possibly did not see God, because you know why? God's dead. He died on the cross. So until I see him, not a chance I'm going to believe. But now, before we get on him too much, remember the apostles standing in the room beside him didn't believe till they saw the nails and the piercing in his side. They are so much like us, we can't help ourselves. Isn't this great? Look at the way this works. This is who this is. A week later, his disciples were again in the house. You always got to take them back to the same place. It's no fun at another place. You got to go back to the same upper room. Thomas was with them. Can you imagine that conversation? You think he got a choice to go? Can't you just see 10 apostles grabbing him up by the ear and saying, "You're going with us, boy. You don't have a choice." So they went. Now, remember, Jesus didn't say he was coming back at the upper room again. They just brought him. Thomas was with them. The doors were shut again. Uh-oh. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." How's your heart? I'm back. "Peace be with you." This is wonderful. And then he looks at Thomas and says this. Y'all ever been sent to the principal's office? Everybody ever been there and the principal will look at you and start to say something? This is one of those moments, if this is a loving, caring person with this place. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Now, I want you to notice something about the scriptures. Very interesting. Thomas never says Thomas touched him. He offered it to him, but it never says Thomas actually touched him. He's just had the offer. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Wow. Look at the journey. Look at what it took to get there. Here's Jesus' response. This is all about you, friends. If you've not heard one word I've said to this moment, listen to this. This is about each one of you. It's about all of us. Directly spoken to us. Watch it. Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those. Y'all, blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe. Whether you believe it or not, y'all are blessed people. You have been blessed by Jesus himself. Why have you been blessed? Because without seeing, what have you done? You believed. Now I have two questions I want to work with here as we finish. The first one is, do you believe you've been blessed? It's not went easy all the time, has it? Life can really be a bummer. It's that way for all of us. Different ways, different things. But for all of us, it's tough. Do you believe you've been blessed? I had this young pastor came to me one day. It was at my retirement. Y'all don't see how much I retired, but it was at my retirement. And we were standing in the sanctuary at Lake Junaluska. We'd retired. They were getting ready to be ordained. He was at that point of being ordained. He's very young. As I said one time, I have socks older than him. We were in that place, and he came up to me and said, how do you know you've been blessed? And I put my arm around him. I said, well, let's talk. This little old Baptist, raised in a Baptist church, came up through all kinds of stuff, struggled with life, answered the call to ministry. I met this wonderful woman who married me. I've had three fabulous kids. I have served churches I didn't deserve to serve. I have been a district superintendent. I've been able to be in all kinds of churches. I've had conversations with presidents, with senators. I've had conversations with bishops. I've served communion to the Council of Bishops. I've been in all these places. He said, so you've been blessed by that? I said, no. It was good. I got to be in South Korea, be on the DMV, serve communion to the troops. Oh, that's great stuff. He said, so that's how you're blessed? I said, no. I was blessed because when I lay my head on my pillow at night, I know my Lord and Savior loves me in spite of whatever I've done. That's how I was blessed. All those other things are fabulous, but I've been blessed by the presence of God. Can you imagine what that means? That's for all of us, my friends. So how do you know you've been blessed? And then the last statement. If God wants to bless you, are you willing to receive the blessing? Some people don't feel they're worthy to be blessed. Let me help you with that. You're not. So get past it. Some of us don't feel that God really wants to bless us. We just said He did. What I want you to hear is God wants to bless you with every ounce of His being. But here's what you have to do. Just like salvation, you have to receive the blessing that God offers. Are you willing to receive that blessing? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to that room. What a glorious place. You serve communion in it. You've told them of denial and betrayal. You've walked out knowing you were going to die. You've come back and the apostles barely were able to receive you, and yet you showed them and they did. And Thomas came and he was just like them. He had to see. And here we are, Lord. We don't think we see you. We believe without the sight, although I truly believe we see you everywhere. But we would believe in you without seeing, and we have been blessed. May the blessing overwhelm us, and let us receive it in the fullness of God. We offer these words that have been read and proclaimed, and all that has been sung and will be sung, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who gives life and life everlasting. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to sing, the altar is open for you to come and pray as God leads you. Let us sing with all that we are, and it is trust and obey. Amen. Amen. Mr. Terry.
Trust and obey.
Glory be shed on our world.
So for those of you who are looking forward to not having to listen to me preach next week, amen. I hate to break this to you, but I'll be on that screen. I've done both sermons for the next 2 weeks. They're ready to go. They're going to be there to proclaim and to preach. And because I had nothing else around me, I got fired up both times. And so you get to enjoy that. So I'll be here and I'll be looking through the screen at you, amen. And so we'll be watching for those who don't show up because the preacher's gone. And so we want you to be here for that, those 2 Sundays. We have a special guest speaker on the 3rd Sunday, but I'll let him tell you who that is when the time comes. I do want to ask you a question. I'm just passing this along to our trustees. Y'all know our heating system is we either have heat or we have cool. Do y'all want to sweat and see if it turns cold again, or do you want to turn the air on and watch it turn to 32 degrees outside and you have to bring your blankets? Y'all have an opinion? Because if not, I'm going to tell them to turn the heat off, because even I'm hot. And when I get hot, guess what it is? It's hot. Everybody okay with that? Turn the heat off? If you're okay with it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're opposed, say oh my. I think we're good, Larry. And Richard, I think we're good, okay? And so we go. All right, let's pray together. Trust and obey. I'm kind of happy that song didn't start with obey and trust. We have to trust first. We have to love God. We have to seek God. Coming to God is God interacting with us and us knowing that we have been separated from God, but now we are one together. Let us be in the upper room with Jesus wherever we go, and let us believe. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God's power be upon us. Amen.